Good morning. So before I get up here and talk a bit, I've just asked Kim Russell if she would come and share from her time at camp last summer, and she was willing to, sort of, but she's going to come and do it. So ask Kim to come up now.
Yeah, well, when Dave asked me, I was super tempted to say no, because public speaking is just not my thing at all. But I really felt God wanted me to come and maybe see what he wanted to teach me, even as I thought about this and wrote this. So I apologize if it's a little bit more public reading than public speaking, but here we go. Well, growing up, I only had the opportunity to go to camp once. I think I was about 10. I remember loving it. I think I had the best time ever there, and I still remember so many things about it to this day. I remember the polar dips, the meal we could eat only with big kitchen utensils, the songs we sang in chapel. I have even taught them to my kids now, and most of all, the time spent with the girls in my cabin, talking and giggling and hearing about how much God loved me. It may have even been the first time I prayed out loud. I wanted my kids to experience this. I couldn't wait till Jillian was finally old enough to go to Teddy Bear Camp. It seemed to take forever. She was very happy and excited to go. It was me who at the drop-off ended up having the hardest time leaving than her staying. Those 3 days seemed to take forever. When it was time for pickup, she said she had a wonderful time and was ready to go back year after year. As each of my kids made their way from Teddy Bear Camp to Children's Camp, then to Teen Camp, and now that they are old enough for light, they were always excited to go and had a great time while they were there. Each time I would drop the kids off, I loved the feeling and atmosphere of camp. There was so much love and excitement. I knew that they would be well taken care of. On pickup day, I would come to chapel, excited to see them and ready to hear all about their week. As I sat in the back, listening to the kids sing in chapel, my heart would fill up with such emotion. Sometimes I could almost not keep myself from crying. I'm not sure I can describe it, but maybe other parents can understand the feeling they get when they hear their children singing praises to God. It seemed their faith had grown during that week and become more their own. After chapel, they would tell me about all the fun and crazy things they had done, swimming, crafts, camp, counselor hunts, and the songs they sang at supper if someone had their elbows on the table, and who had gotten thrown into the swamp. Then, when the initial chatter about the crazy and exciting things had quieted down, I would ask them about chapel and the speaker. I was always amazed at how much they took in and remembered. They had memorized Bible verses and learned stories in ways specially directed for them. They told me about conversations they had had in their cabin about God and questions that had come up that maybe would never have anywhere else. As important as the fun times are, I loved it that it was a safe place they could learn about God from other adults. I noticed and was impressed with the emphasis that was put on prayer and personal relationship with God. I could see how much the counselors, speakers, and other camp workers cared about sharing the gospel with these kids. Camp is for all kinds of kids. I love how it is a place where kids from all backgrounds can come and be shown love and taught about God. For the kids who don't have a stable home or someone around who teaches them about God, it can be the first time they ever hear that God loves them unconditionally and they can have a relationship with Him. How amazing it is for them to have this opportunity to hear the gospel, and that there is so much more for them than the life they have ever known. For the kid who has grown up in church all their life, it is an opportunity to make their faith their own. As important as it is for parents to teach their children at home, I think hearing about God and seeing other adults living out their faith can push them to realize that they don't believe just because mom and dad told them to. Other adults speaking to them about God and living it out can make all the difference for a teen trying to figure out life, faith, and what truth really is. No one is shy or embarrassed to talk about God and faith here. God's love and presence can be felt. I've worked in the kitchen a couple times now that the kids are older and have had a great time. It doesn't even seem like work. I now have a greater appreciation for the time and dedication that goes into operating a camp. There's an amazing amount of work and dedication from everyone involved and could only be done with the power of prayer, which I will say again is such a major part of camp. God is definitely working here. Now that my kids are older, I get to see a whole new side of camp. Jillian has done the light training and Carson has started it this year. This program goes beyond just the fun and basic teachings of God, but help these kids put their faith into action. first by the Bible studies and work involved, but also the service side of camp. They get to do many projects that are just plain hard and dirty, which I think is important for all kids to learn to do. This was the first time Jillian wrote her testimony and shared it and heard from her peers. Jillian says she loved how close she got with the other girls in her group over the 3 weeks, and that it pushed her to study her Bible more and to get to know God in an even more real way. And even though the four-day hike she wasn't super excited about and was really, really hard, she looks back and really learned a lot and enjoyed it. Now she can be a camp counselor and serve by mentoring and teaching. She loves it and is looking forward to working at camp again this summer. So if you are not sure about camp, I don't think I can encourage you any more strongly than this. Send your kids. You won't regret it.
Thanks, Kim. I always feel like I could just, I don't need to come and talk after someone does that. That was such a good promo for camp. It's probably one of my favorite parts of doing these tours is there's always someone different from every church just sharing a little bit about how camp has touched them. And it really, yeah, it's really encouraging to me, and I really like to hear the different aspects and how camp touches lives. Looking at the slideshow, I hope you enjoyed it a little bit. Telling people that gets me really excited for camp, watching the slideshow and putting it together, but it also gets me kind of tired looking at all the running around. Not sure I'm quite ready for that yet, but I'll get there. This morning I'm just going to try and give you a bit of an update of where camp is at, what we've been doing in the off season, and what we're looking forward to this summer, and then I'll take some time and share from the Word with you. So this off season has been a little bit easier, I would say, for me, for us. I feel like we know what we should be doing a little bit better than last year. It was kind of trying to figure everything out, and you know, what is our job and what should we be doing. This year there's some stability in returning staff. Gail is coming back as the head cook, and Daylin's gonna be the program director for her second summer, so that's good. Last year I was new, everybody was new. It felt like it was a little bit more stressful in that. So one of our goals for this summer is to finish tinning most of the buildings at camp. Which means the girls' dorm and Uncle Walt's cabin, or the cook shack, whatever you decide to call it. We'd also like to continue on the maintenance theme a little bit. We'd want to stain the outside of the main building. I'm sure you all can remember the fire last spring and how close it came to camp. But with that came a lot of sprinklers. There was, I think at one time I counted, over 30 sprinklers on camp's property. And so a lot of them were aimed at buildings, rightfully so, to protect the buildings. But if you look at the main building, you can see where the water was bouncing off of it for 2 weeks straight, and it's really worn it down. So we'd like to stain that and get that looking a little brighter. We're also looking into redoing the floor in the dining hall, but I think that'll take a little bit of strategic planning, just depending on the time of year and when we're not using camp and stuff like that. So we'll see how that goes. It feels like maintenance is never ending, but it, you know, it's really good to see things being upgraded and refurbished. Excuse me. So as part of these upgrades, camp has asked John Gibson to head up a vision planning committee, just looking into the future of camp and what projects are on the horizon. This is exciting because it's felt like we've been so busy kind of spending time catching up that we haven't had a lot of time to plan for the future. So, you know, John has a lot of history, and I'm hoping that he's going to draw on some people that have a lot of history with camp as well. So this committee is in its early stages, so exactly how it's going to look, we're not 100% sure yet, but I think it's important going forward for camp. So Kim talked a little bit about the Light program. Many of you know of it and heard of it, and it's an important part of our camp ministry. Going into last summer, I honestly felt pretty unprepared for Light. I had never been involved in Light. It wasn't around when I was younger. I'd never helped with Light. So I didn't really know all the dynamics and how it worked. So at the end of last summer, the board asked Jared Clausen to come up with a Light manual. He's been our Light director for the last two summers. And so Jared, of course, agreed, and he likes that kind of stuff. So he prepared a fairly detailed manual for Light, which I think is really good for camp and even for the ownership churches, just to understand what Light looks like and what it's meant to be. So it just outlines what the responsibility of the Light leaders and what the program is trying to accomplish and things like that. It'll be good for myself going forward, but I think any future leaders of camp as well, it'll be good. With that, I'm thankful to say that Jared is committed to coming back this summer for his third time of being the Light director, which is really, really fortunate to have him back for a third summer. We are looking for a female leader, so if you know of someone that would fit this role to work alongside Jared and in the Light program, just let me know. So you may have heard that we've changed the date to senior teen. We're putting it at the beginning of summer. That I think we're going back to the beginning of summer. When I was in school, senior teen was at the beginning of summer. So just a little bit of a change there. We're also looking at incorporating paintball a couple times a week during teen camp, just to have a little different aspect, something a little more exciting for the teens. But we will see how that goes. I'm not sure I'm excited about getting shot yet. I feel very fortunate as a director to be the director in good times. I'm afforded this privilege to look into things like paintball and even, I know it doesn't sound glamorous, but redoing the dining hall floor, right? These are things that for a long time maybe seemed too costly or out of reach for camp. And I know this is because of your faithfulness to God's calling on your life to support camp, and that you have done. Something that has been on my heart for the last few years, and I know John talked about this quite often as well, is the need for more adult involvement in camp, especially in the cabin leader position. Now, don't get me wrong, we got a lot of great young staff, and we need that. We need their youthful excitement and enthusiasm and energy. But I believe if we're going to continue to grow our young people, they need to work alongside experienced, more mature Christians. And I understand, summers are busy, we got lots going on, and I get that. Some people feel like, maybe they're too old to be a cabin leader, but you know what, last summer, Shane Sheely did it for 3 weeks, so if he can do it at his age, then anybody can. That's what he gets for calling me old man David. So one more thing I want to talk about before we spend some time in the Word is the DIY camp. I just want to give a little plug for this DIY camp. I think this camp has so much potential to get people involved who wouldn't normally feel comfortable being involved in the actual camp ministry itself. I'm sure you guys enjoy your family camp. I know I was up there last year I popped in to grab something from the camp while you guys were there, and it looked really full, and you guys were having a lot of fun. And I think our DIY camp is fairly similar, designed to be fairly similar. There's time for family and friends and games and chapel sessions, but of course there's the time dedicated to work and just getting things done around camp. In my mind, I picture it something similar to, a work bee or, an old-fashioned barn raising or something like that without the barn part, but, just getting together and doing it. So I think we could get a lot done and have a great time doing it together. So I would love to see, camp full for those few days. But really, in whatever way, we'd love to have you at camp this summer. All right, so that's kind of where camp's at and some of the things we are doing. So now I'd just like to turn and take some time and share what God has been doing in my life and how he's been working in my life over the winter. So before we do that, I'm just going to bow in prayer and we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this place, Lord. We can worship you freely. We can come here and not be ashamed or scared, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are a great and awesome God. I thank you what you are doing in this church, in this community, Lord, and at camp. You continue to change lives, and I pray, God, that we will see that. We will look for the things that you are doing around us, Lord. I pray in your name. Amen. So if you've ever been a part of the camp ministry for a whole summer, or even close to it, you'll know how hard it is to come back to reality and all the struggles that go with everyday life. I know for a lot of the staff, this is a huge issue, trying to maintain that high which comes with camp. Now, hopefully for the more mature staff, and I would include myself, the struggle isn't as great, but you know, it's still there. Throughout this off season, I've been personally battling through thoughts of, what is camp really doing? Are we accomplishing anything? And not just camp, but as Christians in our community, are we making a difference? Meadow Lake can feel like a dark place sometimes. You know, there's so many people struggling, so many people living broken lives that need the healing of Jesus. You've probably heard that recent stat that says our area is among the highest in Canada for child poverty. It feels like more and more people can't deal with the struggles. We hear of depression and suicide, things like that, more common, and it's really heartbreaking. A couple of years ago, I had someone tell me that every time they came into Meadow Lake, they could just feel a darkness over the community. So where does that leave me as a believer living in this community? So I'm going to turn in my Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 10. You can turn with me if you have your Bibles, if you'd like. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and starting in verse 12. It says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for which your eyes have seen." So I read verse 12, and I feel like God is speaking to me. You know, this question is posed, what does the Lord your God require from you? And then it's directly answered with, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God. Here, in his final days, Moses is passing on instructions to the Israelites. These were words that Moses probably had to remind himself over his time in the wilderness. He had done what God had asked. and brought the people out of Egypt. Yet the Israelites grumbled and showed little faith along the way. When Moses was gone for what they felt was too long, they built a golden calf and worshipped it. I can't imagine how he would have felt, how Moses would have felt. Discouraged? Upset? Was it worth it? But we know that God had taught Moses to trust in his ways, that Moses' focus and our focus should be on God. Instead of dwelling on the darkness around us, we should commit to serving the Lord and walking in his ways. It's really such a simple answer. Walk in his ways, love him, serve him. That's it. If you know me at all, I like to do things. Sometimes I feel like I try to get ahead of God and try to make things happen. I want to save people. This can lead to a lot of frustration when things don't go the way I have planned. And it can be also very tiring because I'm often working at something that God doesn't want to happen yet. Truly, it is exhausting going against God. Now, this can be easier said than done. We sometimes have trouble buying in and trusting that God's way is best. In verse 14, Moses is quick to remind the people why they should put their faith in God. It says, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong the heaven and the highest heaven, the earth and all that is in it." This God we serve owns everything, not just the heaven, but the highest heaven. I love this little extra emphasis, just to say that everything on earth and in space and in heaven where God's throne is belongs to him. There shouldn't be any doubt in our minds that if everything is his, then we can put our trust in him. So I must come to this realization that if everything belongs to him, then the Meadow Lake belongs to him. The surrounding communities belong to him. That camp belongs to him. And if they belong to him, then he is in control. Just saying that gives me peace. In verse 15, Moses reminds the people of God's immense love for them. This God, who is creator and owner of everything, loves his people. Now, I know that this particular verse is talking about the Israelites, but we too can know that God loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son." 1 John 3:1 says that, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." Sometimes being away from camp or being a Christian in a hurting community can feel so alone. But there is comfort in the fact that a powerful God can love me. And I need to be reminded of that, sometimes daily. As we move on, Moses reminds the people again who God is. In verse 17, he says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God." I feel like this is more of a warning for the future to the Israelites, as Moses knows they are going into a foreign land, warning them not to worship the gods of the people in the land they're going into, that their God, the one true God, is mighty, awesome, and able to take care of them. We know that, right? That our God can provide and rescue and save. Yet often we try to do it ourselves, fix the problems around us, make people better, heal the hurt. Not that we are worshiping ourselves, but sometimes almost to the point of playing God, trying to do his work for him. The NIV says in verse 18, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. I need to rest in the fact that God is there for the suffering and the hurting. Verse 20, again, Moses instructs the people to fear and serve God. And then there's verse 21. And this is the verse that I've really needed probably to hear more than any over the last few months. It says, he is your praise. He is your God who does these great and awesome things for which your eyes have seen. God does do great and awesome things. He did it for the Israelites. He brought them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He protected them, fed them in the wilderness. But they were quick to forget, and so am I. God does great things at camp and in our community. I'm just not always looking for them, or sometimes I forget. So this morning, I want to close by reminding us of what God is doing in our community. You know, it's funny, as I started to come up with a list of things to write down, there was more and more things that were popping up. So this morning, I'm sure there's more that I didn't include, and I don't mean to leave people out, but this is just a few that I chose to highlight here. So one way, I think, to know that God is working is to see people's willingness to serve. This winter, I was reminded that there are still people every winter, I think, that go down to the DR, and there was, a few from your church that did that. Pastor Al and Grace and their family, about a month or 2 months ago, were down and recently helping and preaching at some churches in Mexico. Shane talked about your youth trip going to Guatemala this summer. And last I had talked to Shane, there was some youth from Big Island that are going to be a part of this trip. And the band is even willing to help with that. You know, some of those same youth from Big Island have attended two youth conferences this past year, one at Miller and one at Nipawin. Truly, God is at work in their lives. You know, then we can look at the local outreach ministries, which typically will take the form in kids' clubs. You guys have your Tuesday Night Live that runs at Jubilee School, averages about 25 kids per week. Awana out at Compass, around 50 kids. Then there's the club DJ at Northwest that has another 25 kids. That's 100 kids every week that are either hearing about Jesus for the first time, memorizing scriptures, establishing Christian friendships they couldn't otherwise, or growing deeper in their faith with Jesus. As a camp director, that's so encouraging and exciting. That's the kind of follow-up that I just wouldn't be able to do. And then there's camp. Last summer, we had over 400 kids go through camp. Each one of them heard the gospel of Jesus and his love for them. God is definitely at work in the lives of these children in our community, and also in the people that take time out of their week to facilitate these ministries. So finally, I want to close with a story. Try not to get too emotional, but of a young girl who came from a non-Christian home who regularly attended camp. In the summer of 2003, at the age of 14, at Bethel Gospel Camp, God calls her and she surrenders her life. As she gets older, God continues to work in her life, and she grows in her faith. As a young adult, she becomes involved in the youth ministries in her church. Then God asks her to take a huge step of faith and start a project which will help reach and connect with some of the hurting and broken in her community. If you haven't guessed, her name is Belinda. God was at work at Bethel Gospel Camp in 2003. And that has led to the opening of a new and much needed youth center in our area, in our community. So I need to take a step back and see all that God is doing in the people in our community and be encouraged and excited. So as we leave here today and have soup and fellowship, I want you to be excited with me what God is doing in Meadow Lake. I want you to be excited and encouraged at what he is doing in the surrounding communities like Big Island. And I want you to be excited and encouraged for what he is doing at Bethel Gospel Camp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you, God, for your love, and thank you that you continue to work in our community. Lord, I just pray that our eyes will be open to your goodness and to all you're doing, that we won't be focused on the darkness around us, Lord. Pray that our lights will shine bright for you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave, for reminding us of those things. I know it's not necessarily comfortable for you to be up here and sharing God's word, but you've challenged and encouraged my heart this morning, so I appreciate that, and thank you for sharing with us. Just a few things that I need to announce before we are dismissed. Just a reminder to those who are sticking around for the worship workshop. We will meet kind of right after lunch, so we're hoping for about 1 o'clock. If we can, or shortly after, no later than 1:30. We've got a bit to cover, so we don't want to get started too late. So if you're able to stick around for that, we'll get started about then. Also, Dave mentioned about our summer retreat coming up in June 14th to 16th. Kind of put that out for you now. Also, that is our time in which we encourage and are open to doing baptisms. We do it out in the lake there, if you're not familiar with it. So if you have never been baptized, you're a believer, your faith is in Jesus Christ, you desire to follow him, but you've never been baptized, that's a chance for you to do that. So you can come and talk to me, or you can talk to Shane, and we'd be happy to kind of walk you through what that looks like and what that's about if you're not familiar with that. And then otherwise, yeah, we have the fundraiser right after service here, so please stay and please give towards the camp. I know we appreciate the camp, and we haven't been here very long, and so I'm sure many of you do as well. So we just encourage you to do that, and I'm just going to pray for our meal together, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I just thank you that you are working, that we don't have to strive, that we don't have to work for our salvation, or the salvation of others, that it's your calling, your work, you who moves, you who changes hearts and lives, and we can just trust you. Help us to be obedient when you call us to join in that work, when you call us to be that voice, the one with the truth, the one with the gospel, the one that you want to use to be a part of changing someone's life. Help us to be obedient and willing in that. And Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Bethel Camp and just for the work that you have done over many years of doing that work of calling young kids and teens to know Jesus Christ and to put their faith in him, and that many have. And I just pray for their summer ahead as details come together, as work needs to get done, that you would bring the workers and the staff and all that's needed for this summer ahead, that you would already begin to work in the hearts of the people, the kids and the teens that are coming or planning on coming or that will come, and that you would use that the camp and the gospel message that's shared there each week again to change the hearts and lives of young people. And Father, I just pray for our time around the tables and with food, that you would just bless it. Lord, bless our conversations and our fellowship, and bless this food to our bodies. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, and have a great week.